Our person to interview is right here. So that makes it fun and exciting. As Lady Master Nada has asked us to hear more about the lives of our heart friends, we will do this. And today we'll interview Ron, who's right here in our midst.
Hello, my name is Ron Dabrowski. Yeah, I was born in southwest Pennsylvania, foothills of the Appalachians near Pittsburgh, of Hungarian and Czechoslovakian parents. And I liked to play a lot when I was small, and I, especially swimming, and then later on baseball. But when our music teacher played Tchaikovsky Pathetic Symphony, I just fell in love with classical music, and I started playing the clarinet. And with the clarinet, I got through high school in the band. I played first chair all the way through and won several first chair, all county and all that when I went to high school. And I also played in a polka band, and I got a scholarship to Duquesne University and studied music and played first chair there also. And my friends were all musicians, and they were all artists, and we all had such a great time together. We would meet, we would read Shakespeare together, we would improvise, we would play chamber music together, and my best friend played bassoon. And when I graduated there, I got a job teaching in upstate New York. I taught general music in elementary school, and I also auditioned for the symphony orchestra, and I played first chair in the orchestra in Corning, New York. And after 4 years of a teacher, and during that time, I read a whole lot, especially like War and Peace and all the big classics. And then after 4 years, I thought, oh, gee, it's time for a sabbatical, and I think I'll take a year off. And so I thought, well, I'll just resign, and because I was communicating with a professor who was in Europe, and he told me I should come there, and it'd be a great experience. So off I went in the fall of that year, and that was in '63. I was born, by the way, in 1937, April 4th, and then in '63 I was on the Queen Mary, headed for Europe. And I met my friend in Cologne for a few days, and then I went on to Munich, and I went to Munich University and studied German. And every summer, I hitchhiked down through Spain into Greece, especially, and that was a favorite place at that time. And I also went to North Africa and around, and to Istanbul and up to Bulgaria. And in Bulgaria, this guy picked me up, and he said, oh, my brother speaks real good English. He'd like to meet you, I'm sure. So I went, he took me home, and the guy, they were really nice. His dad was official in the Communist Party, and I remember for morning they had this drink they gave me. To me, it tastes like a milkshake, and it was like a fermented yogurt type of drink made from grain. And I went on, and I got a job teaching in Verdun, France, in a high school, music. They had an opening at that time, so I finished out the year there. And then after that, I went up to Sweden, and I lived there 2 years, and I taught 2 years music in Sweden. And then I said, wow, I've been here 4 years. Oh, I forgot to mention, before this trip, my friend gave me a book, and it was like my Bible. It was one of the few books I had, and it was about Krishnamurti. And I also read a lot when I was there in the library in Stockholm about Krishnamurti. And that's how I became a vegetarian. He says, his master said you should never eat any impure food, and you should be a vegetarian. And I thought, it dawned on me, I should be a vegetarian. So that's when I started, and that was about in 66 maybe. Anyway, I taught 2 years in Sweden. Then I said, I can't get motivated to come home. And this thought came, says, just go through the motions of going home and get everything organized. So I did that, and pretty soon I was on the Queen Mary. I was headed home. And I went home, and I visited my parents, and they were glad to see me. And then I went to New York, and When I was in New York, I had this great awakening experience that lasted about 3 weeks, which I didn't need anything because I was afraid that I would get out of the frame of mind that I was in. And I learned so much. And I think I was overshadowed by Moria because I used to see blue everywhere. And I have many stories about that. And then after that, about 3 weeks later, I said, gee, I should be married. So I called the best friend I had in Europe, my girlfriend in Europe, and she was Finnish descent. And I said to come here and join me here. And then she came and we got married and we started a family and two boys. We had two boys born. And I said, gee, I hate my kids to grow up in New York. We were living in Lower East Side on 11th Street in First Avenue. And so, and I was working at a publisher at that time. So I went to Portland and set up an apartment, and I was surprised how easy everything was in Portland as compared to New York. So we moved out there on an airplane, and we took all our belongings on the plane, and we're sitting on the plane. I look out the window. The pilot said, we'll be ready in just a minute. There's a little hold up here. And here they were rolling. We had 26 boxes on the cart, on the dolly, and they were rolling it out to the airplane, and they were putting our stuff in the airplane. So we moved there, and I got a job in a post office, and we had three more children, three girls, two boys and three girls. And while I was there, I was going to, during lunch hour, I would go for a walk. Being an Aries, you know, you're always exercising. So I went to a walk, for a walk all the time, and I went to Powell Bookstore, which is nearby, and I read this book, and I said, wow, this is inhuman. It's like ascended, and it was a a book of from the Summer Lighthouse, and it was about Archangel Michael talking, and that was so great. And then I found the book about Saint Germain, the Wonder Man of Europe, and read that. And then I was reading this book, and this lady tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Oh, we have a group here. Would you like to come?" I said, "Sure." So I went to the group, and I had read many books by that time before I even went there because I was very curious about this mantra, and I was like, you know, I didn't understand it. And then when I went there, I learned to do mantras and things. Then later, my marriage broke up, and I had no house or anything, so I was living at the teaching center there in Portland, and Saint Germain came on 86. That's how I first heard about it, and he says he decided to save Portland because Portland, Oregon, because it's such a beautiful city, and that was our primary purpose there. And so we used to do so many really great mantras and rosaries, Kuan Yin rosaries and all of that. And then we had the bomb shelter period, and I went to SU in 96. It was the class of the Blue Flame Masters, and that was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And we lived in tents and would wake up like at 5, and it was so much energy there, and we were like living in an etheric plane the whole time. And I was swimming in the river too there, you know, near the bridge. And then I found a better place along the river. And everybody, all these Norwegians and Swedes, and, you know, I thought I'd be the only one like I usually am. But they were swimming just as much as me, and they loved it. And we had such a good time. And that was in 96. And then later on, in Portland, we got this new church, and I completely renovated it by myself, painted the whole thing, and I sanded the floors and everything. And then it fell. The church didn't help us at that time, and they didn't think it was a good idea. So we were renting it the whole time, and then it went to the Moonies, took it over. So anyway, after that, I said, gee, it's time for me to move. I want to move south of here, you know. and I called a friend up. She says, "Oh, there's a light bearer there in Eugene. You should call her and ask her if there's a place down there." And I called her up, and here is Dwayne, you know. And she says, "Oh, there's a vacant apartment right next to mine." I said, "Great, I'll come down and look at it." So I finally ended up moving there. And at that time, I had a reading by Deborah McFadden, and Al Moyer was there, and I said, "Gee, how do I know I'm making the right choice?" And Al Moyer told her, "When the door's open, do not question." You know, so I thought that was a nice answer. So I lived there, and we started doing outreach, and we did lectures, and we went to all the fairs, and we used to sell books, and we used to travel even to the coast. And then David came along, and as soon as I read Lonello's dictations, I knew that was it. You know, it was Lonello. And so we were with the Heart Center from there on in, and we went to India, and we went to a lot of places, great places. And now we're living in Mount Shasta. And the way that happened, we were at John Fanuzzi's during a conference, and I went in. We were cleaning up, you know, cleaning the yard and everything. It was a big cleanup meeting, and I went in the room, and the girls were sitting around a table, and they had a pendulum, you know. I said, Dwayne called me, and she said, "Ron," because we didn't know where we were going to move to, and we had about five choices, you know. One of them was Bozeman and so forth, and one of them was Montchess. And she said, ask that question. I said, "Okay, where should we move, St. Germain?" And the pendulum started moving like crazy. It was parallel. It was moving clockwise, like parallel. It was almost flying out of my hand. She said the same thing happened to me, and it was Mount Shasta. So we moved to Mount Shasta, and we've been here, and we started broadcasting. Now we're broadcasting, as you know, videos, and it's really great. Now we love it here, and our friends moved up from Central California, Kathleen and Robert, and now we have Patricia here, and we have a lot of people in the community, and we're really very happy here. Thank God. Amen.
We are grateful for you too, Ron, and we have just a few minutes left, and I'd like to ask if anyone else here has a question, but I'm very interested in, you said you have some blue flame stories. Could you tell us one blue flame story? Did you say something about the blue?
Yeah, that was in New York. it felt like I was a Christ walking there, you know, barefoot. I did that for about 3 weeks. I would get up, take a shower, I'd go out in the morning, and I'd go up right at daybreak. And walking, I met all these people, and I was like guided, you know. Like the first day, I went there, and all the there was kind of tough guys there, and they were like they were hustling money, and my regular thought went, "Yeah, I think I'll just cross the street and keep going," but it said, "No, keep going." So I kept going, and I had to deal with that, because when I was in college, I was very mental, and this connected me to my heart, this whole thing. And I learned like all the street stuff, I would sit, a bum would be sitting down there. One day I found this in the morning, I found this a green leaf. It was so beautiful. It was like from a rubber tree or one of those tropical trees. And I put it in my pocket, and I sat down by this guy. I said, how you doing? He said, "Well, my kidneys are really bad." I said, "Well, do you drink coffee?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's the problem." Because I had read a lot of Edgar Casey, you know, before when I was in Pittsburgh. And I said, "Oh," and my hand went right to that thing. And I said, "Here, put this on the back of your kidneys, and it'll help you." And then I went on my way. And I was wondering, gee, what did I just do there? You know, am I creating a miracle or something? So things like that happen. Every day you could, like, write a book about all the uncanny things, you know, that I called them at that time. So really, it purified my body. And then when we got married, my wife had been sick, and she wasn't eating, and we were in like perfect shape to start having kids and getting married and having kids. And that's when I discovered macrobiotics, and I brought all my kids up on macrobiotics, on grains and vegetables.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ron, very much. It sounds like you have lots of stories, and maybe we'll have to continue this at another time.